Let's begin with the reported plan of President Obama to significantly extend on a social benefit offered to American families by President Bill Clinton back in 1993.
Now millions of our people will no longer have to choose between their jobs and their families. The law guarantees the right of up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave per year when it's urgently needed at home to care for a newborn child or an ill family member. This bill will strengthen our families, and I believe it will strengthen our businesses and our economy as well.
That's President Clinton signing the Family and Medical Leave Act, which said you can't lose your job for taking family-related days off. President Obama wants to ensure that those days off will come with pay, joining a policy common to much of the industrialized world. Betsy Stevenson is one of the architects of President Obama's parental leave plan. She's a member of the President's Council of Economic Advisors and a professor of public policy and economics at the University of Michigan. Welcome, Betsy.
Hi, John. How are you?
Great. Let's talk a little bit about the details of this program to be outlined tonight. What do you think American consumers who maybe are into their third month of pregnancy and looking at their family leave situation sometime this year, what details stand out?
Well, what the president is calling for, first of all, is for Congress to pass legislation that would allow millions of working Americans to earn up to 7 days of paid sick leave per year. And that idea that workers should be able to earn paid sick leaves is one that, you know, Americans around the country really support. We saw an overwhelming number of Americans in the state of Massachusetts go to the polls to pass paid sick leave in their state, and the president believes that all Americans should have access to the right to earn paid sick leave. He's also proposing more than $2 billion in new funds to encourage states to develop paid family and medical leave programs, and announcing that the Department of Labor will use $1 million in existing funds to help states and cities conduct feasibility studies to get their own paid leave programs up and running. Right now, there are three states that already offer paid leave to new parents, and the president wants to encourage more states to consider developing such proposals. And then finally, he modernized the federal workplace by signing a presidential memorandum last week, which directed agencies to advance up to 6 weeks of paid sick leave for new parents or for parents with a new child. And he's also calling on Congress to pass legislation to give federal employees an additional 6 weeks of paid parental leave. As you may know, federal employees don't have the right to take paid maternity or paternity leave. And what this is doing is, first of all, ensuring that they can all take at least 6 weeks by using that advanced sick leave, but also asking Congress to modernize the federal workplace by providing paid parental leave.
From the standpoint of someone who is an expert on policy in this matter and others, why does the U.S. have such a problem with maternal and paternal leave when so many countries in the industrialized world seem to think it's part of sort of the cost of doing business?
Well, what I know is the good news is we've had so much experience around the world and even in parts of the U.S. adopting and expanding paid parental leave programs that we know a lot about their effects. And what the research shows clearly is that adopting these types of family-friendly policies are good for parents, are good for workers, and it's good for the economy. Businesses that adopt paid leave policies see positive results. A study of over 700 firms found that firms with work-life balance policies had higher productivity. Other policies show that it can boost corporate profits. And when California implemented paid family leave a decade ago, it's now been 10 years, they passed paid family leave in 2004, lots of employers expressed concern that requiring paid family leave would hurt their bottom line. But 6 years into the program, in 2010, 90% of employers reported that the law did not negatively affect their productivity, profitability, morale, or turnover. So I think what you have is before the policy happens, people are worried and nervous. But what we've seen in study after study is that it's easy to adapt to. People don't tend to abuse paid sick leave. That's a study that looked at paid sick days in Connecticut found that few employers reported abuse. And another really interesting study when it comes to paid sick leave pointed out that there's actually lower absenteeism when there's paid sick leave because people don't come to work sick, and that means fewer people get sick. And that actually results in people taking fewer days off. And that's one of the reasons why it's not as hurtful to businesses when they're paying sick leave than some of them might have anticipated ahead of time.
We're going to run some of those arguments by a critic of family leave policies. But before we go, Betsy, what are the limitations of the White House in mandating these kinds of policies for all workers outside of the federal workforce?
Well, I mean, what the president has said is that he is going to work with whoever he can to try to bring paid sick leave and paid family leave to all Americans. He's going to work with Congress. He's going to work with businesses to make the business case directly to them. And he's going to work with state and local governments. That's one of the reasons why he has funds in his budget to help state and local governments, because we're seeing state and local governments moving on this, even if Congress is dragging their heels.
Betsy Stevenson helped to draft President Obama's parental leave plan. She's a member of the President's Council of Economic Advisors and a professor of public policy and economics at the University of Michigan. Thanks, Betsy.
It was great talking with you.
Joining us now with a contrary analysis is Kay Heimowitz, fellow at the Manhattan Institute and author of Manning Up, How the Rise of Women Has Turned Men into Boys. There's a provocative title. Welcome.
Thank you.
But on the question of family leave, what do you make of the arguments from Betsy that where it's been tried, there haven't been the anticipated negative impact?
Well, I think that I agree with actually a lot of what she said. I think that so far in California in particular, that's been studied quite a bit because it's been 10 years. There has not been a big downside that we can find. But I think what people need to understand that this is not you don't want to bring any magical thinking into this. It's not like it's going to solve the gender gap. It's not like it's going to have an enormous impact on inequality or anything like that. And it's extremely important how we choose to do this. Now, there are countries that we think of as enormously family-friendly. The Nordic countries
right.
that come to mind. You've got Sweden and Norway in particular that have very, very long family leaves. And what's happened there that nobody anticipated is that, in fact, it's added to the gender wage gap. And that may be a trade-off some people are willing to make. I would, actually. But it's not going to be to everybody's taste. So that's one possible downside if you don't do it right.
Why would paid family leave programs increase the disparity between wages of men and women?
Because, as I said, it's only if it's very long.
Right.
So, for instance, in Sweden, it's over a year if you want so choose. So
you're out of the workforce.
The answer is easy. Now, at what point, what the cutoff point is, I can't tell you. All I'm saying is that a lot of what looks like, well, the more the better, doesn't turn out to be quite that way. There's also another concern that I think people need to keep in mind, which has to do with employers. And at a certain point, if an employer is looking at two possible employees, applicants, and one is a young woman, let's say 30 years old and newly married, and the other is a guy in his 40s, let's say, you could see how he might hesitate if he's going to be thinking, he or she, if he's thinking about the future of his firm.
Now, I can well imagine that, but is there any statistical basis for that prejudice?
There is not that I've seen. It would be an extremely difficult thing to study
sure.
because it's a, you'd be studying a negative, but not that I'm aware of. It is, however, inevitable that if you give too many kinds of advantages or benefits to one particular group, you are going to disincentivize employers from hiring them.
I think part of the president's vision here is to equalize parental leave for men and women, but we'll see what happens as far as Congress is concerned. Is part of your argument, though, that this shouldn't be top-down, this shouldn't be federally directed, that this should be state
right.
or locally directed?
Right. I think it would be a mistake to make this a federal program. I think that each state needs to be experimenting with this. We have seen, as Betsy Stevenson said, some fairly successful experiments. They've been fairly modest by international standards, by the way, but they seem to be working well enough. I mean, there are some complaints that I've heard from in call-in shows where people say, well, I don't want to have to pay for my co-workers to be working to be taking time off. But I think that's probably not very widespread. And the amount of money that people put into this employee payroll tax that they pay for these programs is very, very small.
Would you say this should be worker-directed, that workers should decide how much leave they take rather than the federal government mandating 6 weeks or 7 days or make it an arbitrary number?
I don't think it can be worker-directed because the workers can't possibly understand what the downsides are for employers. And the only thing less unfriendly, family-friendly, than no family leave is unemployment.
Did you have family leave in your family?
Yeah, I was working part-time and was able and teaching so that I was able to do that, yeah.
And as far as family leave policies are concerned, are there benefits one way or another, since you've written so much on children, to kids for family leave programs or to not have family leave programs?
Yeah, there's some evidence that mothers who take family leave are more likely to breastfeed and to breastfeed for longer. So, yes, there could be advantages, and there does seem to have been that result in California.
Thinking about the family leave proposals of the president in tonight's State of the Union address, Kay Heimowitz is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute and author of Manning Up, How the Rise of Women Has Turned Men into Boys. Thanks so much, Kay.
Thank you.